Grow Your Business with Ivor Kellock.
Well, hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to St Albans. Not quite sunny yet again, although we are in the middle of our summer. Still bright daylight outside, but we've had some rain for the last few hours. As ever, got a fantastic show lined up for us tonight, talking to someone that I've known for a few years now. Is called John Boyes. So say hello to everyone, John.
Hello, everybody.
And John's a coach, has had led a very interesting life, tasted many, many different flavours, and we're going to focus on stress, and specifically stress in the workplace tonight, and how you can deal with it, and how you can recognise it, know when you've got it, and what you can do to prevent it. So just give us a quick, brief introduction, John, and explain why you're so interested in stress and how you got involved in helping people sort stress out in their lives.
Sure. Okay, Ivor. Well, it sort of started, to be honest with you, very young, very, very young. I can remember the first thing that caused me a lot of stress was when I was a young child, about 5, and my grandmother died. And it was all sort of very unexplainable by my parents, and that, you know, that caused me quite a lot of grief. And then various other things happened to me along the way. My father was made redundant as the manager of a very large farm estate when I was in my sort of O-level years at school. And I made the decision that the best way to deal with the stress of all that was to walk away from it. So I actually chose to sign up and join the Royal Air Force. So I went away and joined the Air Force in around about 1972. And decided I was going to go and see the world and have some fun. Completed all my training, and the first posting that I got sent overseas to the wonderful island of Cyprus. But unfortunately, it was in 1974, and about 18 weeks after I'd arrived on this beautiful, idyllic island, a load of Turkish paratroopers decided to parachute in and invade the island in order to, you know, take back sovereignty of it.
That's a little bit scary.
It was a little bit scary, to say the least. And yes, I happened to be up Mount Trudos skiing at the time. So, yes, it was indeed a little bit scary, bearing in mind that I was only about 21 at the time. So that taught me to face up and deal with quite a lot of stressful situations quite young. And I got quite fascinated with stress and how to deal with it, and started reading up a lot about psychology and various other things while I was out there. I also took up meditation, because one of my buddies that was in the Air Force with me out there was a Pakistani guy. His name was actually Omar Sharif, would you believe? And he actually taught me how to meditate. So he taught me how to switch off and get away from the stress.
Yeah.
And I've been interested in yoga and meditation ever since, actually. But yes, I very sadly, while the war was going on, my mother also died back in the UK. So, you know, more stress built up. And I was able to get back fairly quickly, but unfortunately too late to see her. And, you know, all this stuff gradually starts to stack up, and you tend to sort of bury it and forget about it. And I then left the Air Force and went into industry and sort of worked my way up through the ranks in the corporate world, eventually becoming a director in a corporate, a fairly small division of a corporate based in Milton Keynes. And I got a bit bored with all of the stuff going on in corporate, so I decided to set up my own business in 1989. And for those of you that will remember, 1989 was the year that Margaret Thatcher, bless her, suggested that we all became entrepreneurs.
And, so for our international listeners, Margaret Thatcher at the time was our Prime Minister.
Was the Prime Minister, yes, absolutely. And was very much about, you know, free spirit, entrepreneurialism, get out there and make it happen, live the dream. So I set up my business. I borrowed loads of money, which was very easy to borrow in those days. And
how we wish for those times.
6 months went by, and it was wonderful, and I was in the boom, and everybody was buying lots of my products. And then all of a sudden, wham, interest rates went up to over 17.5% overnight. And my business was just crippled overnight. My rent was doubled. My house value obviously halved. And then obviously my repayments massively increased. So it was basically unsustainable. So I sold the business. Fortunately, managed to sell it, ironically, to a retired squadron leader who wanted to buy it as a hobby. So I didn't lose all my money, but I did lose most of it. Went back into the corporate world and continued right up to 1974 in the corporate world, dealing with quite a considerable amount of stress because I was sort of second in command, so it was quite a stressful job. And I was sort of losing the plot a little bit about who exactly I was. Had an awful lot of staff, a lot of responsibility, very little time in which to fulfill all those responsibilities, a lot of pressure on me from the owners, a lot of pressure on me from my staff, and a lot of pressure on me from the customers, of course. So decided to go for redundancy, and left in 1974, and got in very, very heavily involved in personal development. 2004, sorry. Yeah. I got very, very heavily involved in personal development and decided to join a coaching company that I was actually using as my coach when I was in corporate. And I eventually became their managing director, and I worked with them, and we built the company up, and we all went across to the States and got the latest training in personal development and emotional intelligence and all sorts of other fairly powerful but rather wacky by British standards stuff, and then sort of came back and started to run all sorts of seminars and courses and workshops in the UK, both in corporate, in business, and in private.
Interesting. So let's get into the meat of what stress is all about. So you've been doing it for you've been out as a coach for 8 years, and you've lived stress and some quite significant stressful moments in your life in the 30 plus years prior to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how would you say that for an individual they recognise them, that they are feeling stressed, and there's a consistent feeling of stress there rather than having a few moments here and there?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, the symptoms of stress can vary quite considerably, but normally when a stressful situation is imposed upon you, you will feel it in the body somewhere. You will either feel it in your stomach, you'll feel it in your chest, or you'll feel it in your throat. Or, of course, you could feel it as a headache or tension in the head. So the physical physiology symptoms of stress are normally there. It's just that quite often we're so busy that we don't take notice of them, and therefore they just start to build up. And quite often the symptoms can start to build up and build up and build up until eventually some other form of illness will kick in. And, you know, the vast majority of medical illnesses are in some way connected with stressful living. So really it's about, you know, helping people to acknowledge the symptoms that they've got and become aware of them.
I'm sure I saw a World Health Organization stat that's probably 2 years out of date now, maybe even 3 years out of date, that one in five people in the working population on the planet suffer stress.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, Ivor, it doesn't matter what position you are in society. You know, you can be a highly stressed road sweeper, you can be a highly stressed CEO, you can be an incredibly happy and contented road sweeper and an incredibly happy CEO. It really depends on your attitude towards life. And that's where we come in. We show people that there's a different way of approaching how they run all areas of their life, which can help them to reduce the amount of stress in their daily life.
So what do you do then? So let's say you've met someone and you've been introduced to them because it's been recognised that they're stressed.
Yeah.
How do you go about helping them to alleviate the causes possibly and the symptoms and changing what they do?
Sure. Well, you know, people are quite complicated, so there's a lot of different flavors of personalities out there. So what I tend to do is I'm trained in a particular technology which was developed in South Africa in Cape Town University, and it's called the E-Scale. And it basically it's a personality profiling system which is then a full-blown coaching model. And what I do is through a system of questioning and a process of questioning and listening, I can very quickly establish where the cause of the stress might be.
Okay, interesting. So, so you're asking questions and you're going through a process, and depending on what comes back, you start. So you're ticking boxes there to work out where the trigger points are. You and defining their personality. So by understanding their personality, you can then begin to help them recognize where their stressful points are in life.
That's right, because people with different personalities suffer from stress in different areas of their life. You know, one particular personality type might not find that particular situation stressful at all, whereas another personality type will find exactly the same situation highly stressful.
So you've gone through your process there of understanding where the triggers are and what's causing it. What do you then do to help them deal with those situations? So is it about dealing with those situations, or is it about learning to avoid them, or is it learning to delegate?
Well, actually, either it's sort of all of the above. It depends very much on the complexity of the person's life. Clearly, we all have to eat and breathe, and so therefore some people have no choice but to do, to earn a living doing something they might not necessarily choose to do, and so therefore it can impose stresses on them. So really it's about getting them to accept their situation first and foremost, because quite a lot of the time stress can be caused simply by not accepting the situation you're in other words, fighting it. So in other words, by resisting the situation, you're actually increasing the amount of stress that you're likely to suffer from. So the first thing I would do is find out how their behaviour is either helping them or hindering them to reduce the amount of stress that they've got.
Okay, all right. So that's understanding some of the processes in their life, I guess, really.
Yeah.
So you've got through to that point. So that's. I'm not saying that that's easy, but as long as they're open and they're receptive, then all they're doing at this point is answering questions from you. Then it gets to the crunch point of actually having to deal with things and make a change. So what happens then?
Well, there can be a whole variety of solutions to stress. Stress can be caused by eating inappropriately, eating the wrong foods, drinking the wrong substances, drinking too much coffee, drinking too much alcohol, not drinking enough water. There's a whole load of different reasons why people can increase the amount of stress that they suffer from, just to do with their diet. Then there's whether they have any physical exercise or not. Then you have to look at their surroundings, look at their environment. Do they subject themselves to a stressful environment too often?
Yeah.
And then you sort of gradually start to distill that down until you can come up with an action plan for the individual, which is very tailored to the individual.
So at that point of tailoring, how much resistance do you get in terms of change? So you've both come to that point where you've agreed on where you think. So with your guidance, you've agreed on where you think the issues are, and the person's agreeing that they're accepting that they are the issues. So there comes a point where change has to happen, and whether that's about changing your drinking habits or your exercise habits or your eating habits or your socialising habits or whatever it happens to be, that's the difficult point, isn't it?
Because well, it is a difficult point, and the skill is in understanding that the levels of stress and the things that are actually manifesting the stress and creating the stress in the first place can be quite complex, and they can be quite deeply held as well. For example, I've coached people who've had very, very serious substance addictions, and it's not just a question of getting them to accept it and then changing their behaviour. There's all sorts of medical intervention that also has to happen before you can sort of psychologically help them. So it can be quite varied depending on what's causing the stress. But, generally, if it's just a business owner who's simply not paying attention to all the areas of their life that they need to have balanced, then I will look at all of the areas of their life with them, get them to score each individual area of their life, And then we'll look at each one in turn and say, okay, well, you know, what could you do in order to reduce the amount of stress that you're creating in your life in that particular area in your life? Like, for instance, their social life, or their physical well-being, or their sleep patterns, or their work life, their work-life balance. It's quite simple, actually, to just map it out like a pie chart and actually show them visibly how their life currently scores out. And once they see that, they've then got evidence in front of them, because they've done it, so therefore they've admitted it and they've agreed with it. It then becomes something that they can accept, that it's within their power to correct it and do something about it.
So at that point, because it's all mapped out, you're saying that change isn't that difficult. Or when I say it isn't that difficult, there's a however much you can accept something and intellectualise something, to physically make a change can still be incredibly difficult.
Yes, it involves a complete change of behaviour and a change of habits. And as you know, old habits die hard.
Yes.
So yes, it does require an effort on their part, but the idea is that, because of my training and my own personal experience, that I haven't just got one tool, I've got a whole chest of tools that I can help them with and teach them to use in order to reduce the amount of stress that they have in different areas.
So can share a few examples there? Where however much someone accepts, they're finding that change difficult for whatever reason. So give us a couple of reasons of why the change is difficult and how you've helped people overcome.
Okay, well, I mean, one area which I can tell you about, obviously I can't mention and won't mention any names, but I'll give you an example of a fairly extreme case where I was coaching a very senior analyst who worked with one of the large banks in London, and he wanted me to do some career coaching with him. But actually it turned out, once we went right deep into his behaviour and his situation in life, that it was actually a childhood thing. It was the fact that he was gay, but he hadn't actually chosen to come out with his parents. And this is a guy that was in his late 30s. That was causing a massive amount of internal dialogue going on, an internal conflict.
Yes.
And he wasn't able to concentrate on anything. And so, although he came to me because he wanted to get out of his job and get a different job, actually, when we actually drilled down and got to the real nitty-gritty of the problem, it was actually nothing to do with his job.
It was about to do with other things going on in his life.
It was to do with loads of other things to do with going on in his life, and we dealt with those first, because unless you deal with those, because they're the cause, you can't actually deal with the symptom.
So how did that work out then?
That worked out absolutely incredibly. I mean, the guy was absolutely terrified. He was an Italian guy, and he was terrified at going back to Italy and telling his parents. And as it happened, he went back and told his parents, and they said that they'd known for like 20 years. and it wasn't new. And he was just so massively relieved that they took it in that spirit, because obviously not every parent does.
No.
And then he came back. He was so relaxed. He changed his job. He had a peculiar situation. He had a CEO who was in New York. He had a boss in New York, and then his boss's boss sat in the decks next to him. Really bizarre situation to be working under.
Yeah.
And he just walked away from it. He just had the courage to just say, right, okay, I'm not putting up with it anymore. Handed his notes in and went and got a job with a different bank, and has been happy ever since. I think he's actually now gone back to New York with his partner.
Cool.
So there's one example. And a lot of it was teaching him to become aware of when his mind got very, very busy, to become aware of when his breathing got very fast and very short, to become aware when he started to get tight feelings in his chest and in his stomach. All of these things which he suffered from for most of his life, but he just assumed that that was as good as it would get. He didn't realise he could do something about it.
Yes.
And with some very simple teachings and some very simple tools, he was able to master all of those symptoms, and they just disappeared completely.
Okay, I've got one more example for us.
Another example was a guy who was a friend of a friend, And he was introduced to me as a guy suffering from severe stress, but because of my experience with other sufferers of substance abuse, it was fairly obvious that the guy was not just simply suffering from stress, but that he was quite seriously addicted to something. And so I suggested that we actually had this young guy come to stay with us, and he came and stayed with us for about 6 months. And just through sitting down and doing exactly the same thing as the other guy, you know, listening to his story rather than telling him, allowing him to tell me, he gradually just opened up and talked about the reasons why he'd chosen to take drugs. He'd been taking drugs for 15 years, so he'd been taking drugs from the age of 15. It was a tough one, but it was a really, really interesting and a really rewarding case to actually deal with completely. And he now travels around London working as a counsellor, helping other people get off drugs. So
that's cool.
Pretty cool story. Yeah.
So let's go slightly tangential, but it all fits in with the thread and the theme of this evening. You're trained to do firewalks with people.
Well, when I was in corporate, just before I got made redundant or took redundancy from corporate, I'd started training in various different things. I was training in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and a few other coaching tools which I was using as a senior manager. And one of the courses I went on the final day, there was a firewalk. And, you know, being an ex-military guy and an ex-climber and a sort of adventure sports guy, I thought, this is going to be pretty cool. I'll give that a go. And I was so incredibly impressed by the workshop, the whole day, by the three guys that were actually running the workshop, who were all ex-corporate guys, that I said, you know, I'd rather be doing this than running two factories. And you know, 180 people giving me a load of jib. So I actually started working with them before I left corporate as a sort of non-exec director, helping them with their operations.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I came out of corporate, I went to California and I trained with a guy called Tolly Buchan, who's a pretty famous master firewalk instructor who trained people like Tony Robbins and various other people. And been doing it ever since. I've been doing firewalking now since 2000.
So what's the thoughts behind firewalking? I mean, other than looking incredibly dramatic and impressive, what's going on there?
Different people get very, very different results from doing a firewalk. But the metaphor really for it, and you have to remember that the firewalk is just a metaphor at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's all actually about the training and the attitude training that we teach people throughout the day. But the firewalk itself is really a metaphor that enables people to come to terms with the fact that we have a fairly rational belief that if you're going to go and walk on red hot coals, which may be anything up to 1800 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, and you think, you know, aluminium melts around about 1,000. You know, that's pretty hot, and therefore logically the mind would say don't do that because you're going to come to some serious harm.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty much ingrained in us as
from birth. It's a pretty logical reaction.
Yeah, I was going to say knee jerk reaction, but I'm trying to think of the technical term for that as a as a reaction.
It's a fairly powerful belief that we would have that if you were to walk on red hot coals, you would come to quite a lot of harm.
Involuntary action, that's the word I was looking for.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So it's a subconscious reaction. Heat is going to hurt. Yeah. Well, actually, what we do is we train them that actually, no, you can not only walk across the hot coals, but you can actually walk and stand in the middle of the hot coals and have a conversation. And that just does not make any sense to the rational mind.
No.
Right? And it didn't make any sense to me. I was an engineer. You know, I was trained as an engineer in the Air Force, and I was in engineering right up to 2004. So, obviously trained and studied physics, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me as to how that could be possible.
Yeah.
Which is why I was fascinated by the fact that it was possible. But the metaphor is that if that is possible, when you absolutely would believe that it could be impossible, what else is it that you think that you cannot possibly achieve that actually you could if you had the appropriate training and the right attitude?
Okay.
So that's the metaphor of the firewalk. And actually it is an ancient rite of passage across many tribes around the world. And of course, it was very much a rite of passage of the Native American Indians in America.
Yeah. So to put it into simple terms, it's about overcoming a limiting belief.
It's about overcoming a limiting belief, but it's about learning that when you change your attitude towards something, every single cell in your body changes instantly.
Okay, interesting. So you've done lots of these, have you?
Well, I've graduated over 1,800 people.
Wow.
Personally, I've done probably a couple thousand firewalks myself. And when we graduate people as firewalk instructors, on the last day of their graduation, they have to do 108 10-foot firewalks, one after the other.
Okay.
To prove that they can stay completely focused and unhurt.
Yes. Yeah.
And that it wasn't a fluke the first time.
Yeah, so you actually use fireworks then, presumably, as one of the tools in your toolkit, do you?
We do, yeah. The firewalk and the firewalking seminar is a very, very powerful tool that we use for sales teams, management teams, in fact, anybody. Individuals, we quite often run open ones, where individuals come from different companies.
Yes.
So they're not actually part of a team, they're just an eclectic mix of people. We have parents coming with their children who've got learning disabilities and trauma. It's a very, very powerful one-day course, to be perfectly honest with you. It's something that we do a lot of. We also run charity events as well, so we do firewalks in order to raise money for charity.
Great. So we're coming near to the end of the show now. We've got 2-3 minutes to go.
Okay.
So to cover over on stress and to give people a few pointers to help them out in their own lives, what would you say would be your top 5 tips for helping people recognising that maybe they're putting themselves in stressful situations, and if they're situations that they need to be dealing with, what can they do to work their way through them?
Okay, well, basically, it's a fairly obvious one, but I'll say it anyway. If you're feeling pretty unhappy, then the chances are you're going to be pretty stressed. So if you're feeling fairly unhappy and unsettled most of the time, then the chances are you are suffering from some kind of stress, and therefore I would suggest that you ask for some help, even if it's going onto a website and getting some help.
Okay.
If you're suffering from a very, very busy mind, and let's face it, modern-day business people, inundated with pressure, inundated with data, inundated with emails, inundated with requests, deadlines.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're having a very, very busy mind, then personally, I would take up something like meditation or yoga because it's incredibly powerful for quietening the mind. And 20 minutes of quietening the mind every day will massively reduce the amount of stress and massively increase your ability to deal with it.
So it's just taking a little bit of time out and having a bit of me time.
Yes, absolutely. Very few people spend enough time on themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm certainly guilty of that one.
Well, I can work on you.
So what other tips have you got for people?
Hang around people who live a balanced life. Basically, you are the byproduct of the dozen people that you hang around the most. So if you're hanging around highly stressed out people, the chances are you're going to end up, having some of that stress rub off on you.
Okay.
So hang around people that are chilled out and relaxed and learn from them and ask them how they stay so relaxed.
So in the last few seconds we've got, John, before the show finishes, how can people get in touch with you?
If they go on the Just Clarity website, it's www.justclarity.co.uk. All of our contact details are on there.
Okay, and presumably you're on LinkedIn as well.
I'm on LinkedIn. If you just put in John Firewalker Boys or John Coach Boys, you'll find me all over the place.
Okay, all right, fantastic, John. Well, thanks for a fascinating insight into looking at stress and how we deal with stress. And I look forward to talking with you all next week, and have a fantastic week.
The pleasure is all mine, Ivor. Thanks very much for having me.
That's a pleasure, John. Goodbye, everybody, and we'll see you next week on the Link Local Network. Think locally, connect globally. Have a good week. Cheers. Bye.
Bye now.
Networking with Ivor Kellogg.